You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Wednesday, October 24th, and two big topics on the docket for today.
Yeah, we're hitting it hard today.
Yeah, the Gosnell movie. Get a review of that in just a moment. And continuing a look at the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, some of the things we cover in October, October being Awareness Month, being aware of several awareness topics.
Yes.
Pastor Appreciation Month, and we're grateful for our pastors. We've talked about that a little bit, a few times.
I think this week is Pastor Appreciation Week, too.
Is it?
Well, there were cookies out here, and there were a little sign next to them.
Pastoral Care Appreciation Week.
Maybe that's what it is? Okay.
Yes.
It had pastors and appreciation
lots
and cookies.
Lots of reasons for cookies, right? Always a good reason for cookies. And so we get to, in the second half, get to talk with Pastor Todd Peppercorn, specifically about Luther's dark days, clinical depression, pastors, and what do all of us need to know about clinical depression and what that means? Does that have any spiritual implication as well? You're listening to the Coffee Hour. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Live Uncommon. Joining us by phone this morning, Reverend Dr. Peter Scarry is Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, here to share with us about the Gosnell movie. Dr. Scarry, thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour this morning.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be with you.
When you first heard about the Gosnell book or the Gosnell movie, did you read the book before the movie came out? I wasn't aware that there was a book out before the movie.
Either.
Yeah, did you know that?
I didn't know, and I guess we'll all be going to Amazon to read it. I had no idea.
So when you first heard that the movie was coming out, what were your thoughts? What did you anticipate about the film before you saw it?
Well, I guess, to be fair, there have been a lot of better Christian movies, I would say, in the last couple of years. And I think Christians are trying to up their game. And I can think of a number right offhand. But I guess there's always a little bit of concern because as a Christian, you want to show forth your best face, and you don't want it to be one of those kind of cheesy dramas which you think, oh, no, people will think that we're not kind of up to speed. So I was a little bit hesitant or a little bit concerned that it wouldn't show well. And those fears were taken away because I think it was cinematography of the highest order, wonderful acting, a compelling drama, I think, for anyone to see. So I think people should not hesitate to invite their friends and neighbors to this movie and do it quickly because I think they'll see a quality film.
What was the premise behind the film? Maybe for those of us who aren't as familiar with what this what the story was, it isn't really recent history. But what was the premise behind the film?
Yeah, it's really a remarkable story because there was an abortion clinic, and it was in the suburbs, the kind of seedier, poor suburbs of Philadelphia. And for years, it was run by a Dr. Gosnell. And it was, as the records show and as the evidence shows, an awful place. It was Dr. Gosnell was a very creepy man. And he not only committed abortions, but, and this is hard to say on the air or anywhere, but he regularly delivered live babies and snipped their necks. So he would take the lives of the child after the child was already born. This was typical of what he did. In his abortion clinic was absolutely filthy. There were in jars. There were baby feet. There were in the freezer. There were baby bodies. And everywhere there were rats and there was infestations. And women were treated very poorly. And the thing is, the scandal of this is it went on for years and years. And the reason it went on for years and years is because people were afraid to touch it, not with a 10-foot pole, because as awful as it was, nobody wanted to go after an abortion clinic because that would raise, you know, too many questions. And even and this is very sad to, for me to say, is the Republican governor, Tom Ridge, who was Homeland Security, you might remember him in many ways. I guess he seemed like a great guy, and maybe he was, but he ordered that the health inspectors not go into this place. So for years, this was covered up under the name of abortion.
Hmm. What was, as you were viewing the film, could you sense the audience reaction during the film? Were there audible reactions mm-hmm. from the audience?
Well, it was very somber. And what I would appreciate about this is, you know, as I don't want my words to make it feel like it was sensationalistic or it's almost too much to handle, because the tone was very somber. And they really don't go for the kind of a cheap emotional or you might be afraid of. It simply is laying out the facts and people as they kind of come to grips with what's going on. And I think the emotional key here was in the recognition that what took place at Gosnell, which was the babies born alive and then put to death, how similar that is actually to the abortion procedure. So the emotionally really tough one to take was an abortion doctor went up to the stand to talk about the terrible standards of Gosnell. And this is the woman who was in, if you remember, some people will remember the TV show Northern Exposure. I absolutely love that show, and there was a wonderful actress who was the lead, Janine Turner, and she played an abortion doctor who did things right according to the law. But then she explained what the abortion procedure was, and it was meant to show how Dr. Gosnell was such an awful doctor. But it was emotionally compelling because once you shine the light of truth on abortion, it's hard to look at it in the same way again. And when you look at the way abortion has been allowed to continue on in our country, it's always hidden behind euphemisms, we talk about a woman's right to choose, but we never talk about what it exactly is that she is choosing. The one part I have to admit where it really got to me was at the end, where they did have a song, and the song was "We Are the Innocent," and it was emotionally was hard to take because it was a song that was really written for the children, the children who were who lost their lives, if they could sing what they would tell us. And that's the message of the film, I think, is to consider these innocents, these little ones.
What was your initial reaction after seeing the film and processing what you had just seen? What was your initial reaction?
Well, I guess, you know, I think we left, all of us left the movie theater somber. But I think also with a kind of sense that we need to get this word out. And I think as Christians, for far too long, we've been silent about it. And I will say this is a Missouri Synod kind of a station here. One of the great heroes of that film, it was fictionalized. There was a reporter in the film, and her name was Molly. She was a mm-hmm. blogger. And it was Molly who got this word out to the nation, because when this trial first started, you know, some people don't know what Gosnell was. Nobody was reporting on this. They expected to have these great crowds because this was America's greatest serial killer. He killed perhaps thousands of children after being born. So, I mean, it's remarkable what he did, but how little press coverage there was. But it was Molly Ziegler Hemingway, who is, you might know from Fox News mm-hmm. and from The Federalist, she is the one who actually got the word out, and she tweeted it, and she told her friends who were reporters that this is a story that has to be covered. And in the film, again, that character is fictionalized, but I thought it was a nice tribute to her because her name was Molly. And in the film, and I think it's time, you know, this is a kind of a call to action for all of us, that these children need heroes, the world needs heroes, and we can be those heroes, and Molly was a hero, but we can too, and because these children so desperately need us, and I'm very, I guess there's also gratitude. I'm so thankful that these actors were willing to kind of go out on a limb and do this film, because you know they're not going to be popular in Hollywood with their friends because of this, but they were willing to do it and to push it, and I think they deserve this is going to be for the ages, this film. This is a film that's going to be watched in 20 and 30 years when abortion is finally outlawed, when children are valued the way that they should be valued. This film will be watched as a testimony to both the horror of it, but also to how we turned this thing around and we began to protect the lives of the children. So this is, I think, a landmark film.
And for those who think that a life issue like this doesn't have a place in the film industry, or that it's impossible, that it can't happen because you have to have big money behind it, mm-hmm. this film was funded by donations, by volunteers. Mm-hmm. It was crowdfunded, I understand, and in 45 days they raised $2.3 million to tell this story. Dr. Scare, thank you so much for being our guest. Thanks for taking a look at the Gosnell movie with us and helping us get a better perspective of it and preparing us for those mm-hmm. who will be going to see it. Thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Well, you're welcome, and God bless what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we take a look at the October issue of the Lutheran Witness with our friend, Reverend Todd Peppercorn mm-hmm. in Rockland, California. He writes on Luther's dark days, and it seems like this time of year when we start thinking yes. more about our mental health and well-being, October being Mental Health Awareness Month, but also as we have shorter days too, we start mm-hmm. thinking about that more as well. So stick around for that with Pastor Peppercorn right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.